Good morning. Today's daf and Baba Kama, Tes Zion. Let's go one more daf in. That was yesterday's daf, Yud Zion. We're going to be doing daf Yud Zion today. We're going to be starting with the Mishnah on Tes Zion Amid Beis and Ma Bein Tam Lemuad. So a question which we already know the answer to. So at this point in the Masechta, we are concluding today the first parak of the Masechta, and we are already primed with the answer. And that is, what's the difference between Tam and Muad? So first of all, let's reintroduce. We're here in Baba Kama, so we know this, but it's a worthwhile endeavor, and that is that when an animal does damage, so the animal's damage can be broken up into one of three categories. There is Karen, there's Shane, there's Regal. Later this morning, we're going to go back and discuss Shane and Regal. Shane and Regal is damages that are done. Shane is when the animal eats something that it normally eats, and Regal is when it walks, and while walking, it goes ahead and basically collides into something. So these are two different categories of damages done by an animal, and then there's also Karen. Karen, the animal lowers its head and gores another person's property. So you're obligated to pay for those damages. It's unusual. The Gemara noted, we spent some time yesterday already discussing it. It's unusual for your animal, your domicile animal. We're talking about cows and sheep and goats. And it's unnatural that the animal is going to do that. And it's kind of unexpected. And so therefore the Torah cuts you a break. And you don't have to pay full damages. You don't have to pay chatzi nezek. But that's only if that behavior is not repeated behavior. But once we're now in no longer a first-time offense, it's not the second, it's not the third, but the fourth time that the animal now started doing this, the animal is now what's called a muad. And no longer do you pay chatzi nezek, but now you pay nezek shalem. So, in the categories of shen and regel, you pay full damages immediately. In the category of karen, so you're going to be paying at least for the first, second, and third time chatzi nezek, and then afterwards you're going to be paying nezek shalem. Okay, again, these are basics. We know this already. We've covered this already. So ma bein tam lemuad. Now we go back to the Mishnah. The Mishnah over here highlights what's the difference between tam and muad. Tam mishalem chatzi nezek migufo, muad mishalem nezek shalem min aliyah. So the Mishnah over here provides the basic distinction of chatzi nezek versus nezek shalem, which we already know. But another point that the Mishnah is making seems to be correlated. And that is that by the chatzi nezek, it's migufo. It comes from the animal itself. Meaning that when my animal does damage, my animal now has a value. Whatever its value is, so that is going to be the cap in which I'm going to be paying damages. So let's say my animal, via Karen, does, I don't know, let's say $200 worth of damage. My animal is worth $100. Perfect. So now basically what we're going to do is that we're going to sell the animal or give the actual animal itself. Later in the Masechta, we're going to be discussing that very point. In terms of migufo, how exactly does that play out? But for our purposes right now, all we need to do is just focus on the numbers. And that is that when my animal is valued $100, so that also serves as a cap to how much damage I paid. If the animal via Karen did $200 worth of damage, which means I'm on the hook for $100, so now you're going to be, the animal will serve as payment for the damages, but that's it. Well, it happens to be those are the damages. Now let's play around with the numbers a little bit just to illustrate. So let's say my animal of $100 did $300 worth of damage. And now it did so via Karen, which means I'm on the hook for $150 worth of damage. So how much now is the nezek going to get? Only $100. Why? Because it's capped. Again, the chatzi nezek is migufo. It's going to be capped at the value of the animal that did the damage. When it comes to muad, it's misham nezek shalem. So it's going to be paying nezek shalem min ha'aliyah. Now, contextually, the words min ha'aliyah means what? So contextually, min ha'aliyah just simply means that you're going to be paying uncapped. In other words, you're going to be paying, there's not going to be any cap in terms of the damages. You know what you're going to be paying? Whatever the damages are. Damages are appraised at $200. You pay $200, $300, you pay $300, v'chule, et cetera, et cetera. Also, min ha'aliyah seems to suggest more than just it's uncapped. Min ha'aliyah also would seem to suggest that it's also the best. Gemara's first discussion. We move right to the Gemara. So my aliyah, so when the Mishnah says that when nezek is done via muad, so it's paid min ha'aliyah, what does that mean? I'm Rabbi Elazar ben Mula sheben nechasav. So it's talking about the best of your nechasim. So, and that means to say property. V'cheinu omer, and on top of that, we have a pasuk that supports this idea. So that the word aliyah, the kavana is me'ula, the best quality. So we're looking at Devar Yamin, v'yishkav yechizkiyahu. Im avos avikburu b'mala kivrei b'nei David. Okay, so the yud in the front is right. I'll just say yechizkiyahu. It'll make my life a little bit easier. But so he's buried, and Vaikburu ben Ma'alei Kivrei b'nei David. So he's buried in David's ancestral plot. So right where the kings are buried. But if you look carefully at the pasuk, it says ben Ma'alei Kivrei b'nei David. So what does that mean? V'amar Rabbi Elazar ben Ma'alei Eitzo Ma'ulam Shebeishvacha Maninu Davru Shlomo. So where was his plot? So his plot was amongst the best of Machos Beis David. Right? At this point in time now, we are deep into Machos Beis David. Chizkiyahu is one of the last kings of Machos Beis David. And so he's buried together with, right alongside, David and Shlomo. So as long as we're here, as long as we quote Psukim Divrei Hayamim, so stay tuned because the Gemara is going to quote other Psukim as well, in which the Gemara is going to darshan. Okay, so we just cited from Divrei Hayamim, Divrei Hayamim Beis, Perek Lamed Beis. We're backing up right now, Divrei Hayamim Beis, Perek Tes Zion. Vayikbaru b'kvurosav asher kara lo b'ir David v'yishkaveo b'mishkav asher milei b'samim uzonim. Uznim. Okay, so this pasuk over here is a description of the burial of Asa, an earlier king of Malchi Yehuda. So my b'samim uznim. So what exactly is that a reference to? So Rabbi Elazar Amar zine zine. So the way one interpretation, Rabbi Elazar's interpretation, is that various different types of fragrances. Rabbi Shmuel Bar Nachmani Amar b'samim shekol amirich behem bali de zima. Rabbi Shmuel Bar Nachmani says it's a powerful fragrance, meaning it's not different fragrances, but it's one fragrance, extraordinarily powerful. How powerful is it? So one whiff of it and a person is going to lead to zima. I admit, it's a little bit strange that, in other words, of all the fragrances, that's the one that he's buried with. In other words, the basic idea of the Gemara over here is that when you bury somebody, so you don't want people to be put off by the odor that comes off the body. And so what you do, you put fragrances on the body. Okay? The modern Chevra Kedisha, I say modern, I mean, you know, the last, who knows, 2,000 years, whatever. So modern Chevra Kedisha do something analogous to this in terms of putting in a counter smell on the body. In other words, minig has been for years to use vinegar. But the idea is that you used to put besamim on. Okay, and over here, just a question of how to touch up the words in the pasuk when it says besamim uznim. So exactly what does that mean? So the Amoraim debate, we just went over two viewpoints of what exactly that means. Okay, as long as we are here now, darshaning psukim, so we're going to go a little bit off course, meaning we're done with the mission. We're pretty much finished with the first parak of Baba Kama, but okay, we're going to stay here for just a moment. So Yirmiyahu davens that Kadosh Baruch Hu should do is that Kadosh Baruch Hu should punish the people. Which people? Specifically, the people that were refusing to listen to the Navi. So now we're looking at the psukim in Sefer Yirmiyahu in terms of the tefillah of Yirmiyahu. Kikara Shucha lelachdeinu pachim tamnu leraglai. So when Yirmiyahu is supplicating and talking to Kadosh Baruch Hu, he says, you know, these people, so they're basically setting traps for me. So Rabbi Elazar Amar shechashdu mizona. So in other words, they started setting rumors about Yirmiyahu. So one rumor that started circulating by these people is that he was with a zona. And Rabbi Shmuel Bar Nachmani Amar shechashdu meshazish. And according to the other viewpoint, so the rumors that were circulating about Yirmiyahu and Avi is that he was with Eishes Ish. He was with a married woman. Now, Bisham Laman Damash Cheshu Mizona Hainu Dichsiv Kishucha Mukazona. So the Gemara says, now, the idea that these people, that Yirmiyahu was davening about, the Kadosh Baruch Hu should take care of them, the idea that he was being accused of Znus, of being with a Zona, so the Gemara says it's actually in the Pasuk. It's kind of easy to defend that position. So, but Laman Damash Cheshu Mizona Hainu but if you're saying it's Eishes Ish, so what is the word Shucha doing over there? Atu Eishes Ish Minacha Michlal Zona. So the Gemara says, yeah, but you know Eishes Ish, it's fair to categorize and label Eishes Ish as Zona, right? When the Sota is Mizaneh. So you see that the word Znus can be used to describe either the legal term to describe a Zona in general, meaning a woman who is having a restrictive relationship, so that's a zona. On the other hand, a woman who's committing adultery, also you could use the term zona. Both of those could be labeled with the word zona. Now, on the side that the rumors and allegations against Yirmiyahu is that he was with a married woman, so the Gemara says, at least now this pasuk makes a lot of sense. It says, you know, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, again, we're back at the tefillah of Yirmiyah. You know, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that they want to kill me. In other words, because I was with Eshet Ish. So, but if all he was with a Zona, a Kohen, of course, is not allowed to be with a Zona. But that's not a capital offense. So how do you understand when Yirmiyahu says, you know, they want to kill me? So the Gemara says, shishlichu lebe'artit. So the Gemara says that killing over here does not mean through judicial manner. Killing just simply means that what they're going to do is that they're going to throw him into a pit. But not necessarily through judicial means. Okay. So Darsh Rabbah, my dichsiv. So so we're back at the tefillah of Yirmiyahu. So we're still in the tefillah of Yirmiyahu. Okay, good. That's the pasuk, and the Gemara now explains. So Yirmiyahu petitions the Kadosh Baruch Hu. Here's what I would love. What I would love is that even when these people who wish me bad, more than bad, who wish me to die. So when these people do something good, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, if you could basically discount anything good that they do. Let's say, for example, they're going to give tzedakah. And so can you make it that when they give tzedakah, so who's going to be the recipients of the tzedakah? People who don't need tzedakah. And what it sounds like from our Gemara, talking about an interesting topic, what it sounds like from our Gemara is that if you're giving tzedakah, but you're giving it to somebody who does not deserve it and is not really necessarily a deserved recipient, so then you, the giver, do not get the schar of giving tzedakah. That's what it sounds like from our Gemara. Because that's what Yirmiyahu is asking HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's the kind of aniyim I want you to put in front of them. Fake aniyim. In other words, aniyim that don't really need their support. And so, in fact, when they give tzedakah, it doesn't pass as a mitzvah. Now, if that's a simple reading of the Gemara, that's a simple understanding of the Gemara. So, understandably, it gives us all great anxiety. I'm really speaking for myself. In other words, someone knocks at the door and someone asks for tzedakah, and now, if he's deserved, great, you did the mitzvah, did a big mitzvah. If on the other hand, he's not deserved, so it sounds like from our Gemara over here that you don't get any schar whatsoever. Okay, that's what it sounds like. Again, this topic is a deep topic, right? The Masifta has got a lot of notes on it. Anyway, but that's a simple reading of the Gemara. We'll just leave it at that, and we'll go on.
Right.
But when it comes to tzedakah, however, right, the Gemara Tanis says that when you have tzedakah, you can get rewarded for tzedakah. You can actually give tzedakah on the condition that you get rewarded. Okay. It doesn't matter. In other words, but what they were the ones spreading the rumors, and he was asking Kadosh Baruch Hu take care of them. That's irrespective of this discussion. Meaning, they were the ones circulating the rumor about him. He was asking Kadosh Baruch Hu, give them no credit whatsoever. Even when they do mitzvahs, give them no credit. Okay. V'chavad asu lo b'moso. Right? That's what we're up to. Yep. V'chavad asu lo b'moso. We are now back to the kvura of Chizkiyahu. Okay. I know we're jumping around over here, Navi. But that's how the Gemara behaves sometimes when it does Agarata. So, Malamisho, Shiva Yeshiva, Al Kivro. So, they made a yeshiva right by the where Chizkiyahu was buried. Upligi by Rabbi Nassim Rabbanan, Charamar Shlosha, Vacharamar Shiva, Vamila Shloshim. Now, how long did the yeshiva go for? So, Machlokas amongst the Amoraim. 3 days, 7 days, or a full month. Tan Rabban Vachavar Asula Bamoso, Zechizkiyahu Melech Yudish Yatsulafanav, Shoshim Vashiva Alav Chalutse Katev. So, Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. So, according to Rabbi Yehuda, what was the cover that they showed Chizkiyahu at his funeral? And that is that there were 36,000 who were basically behaving in a way of mourning by his funeral, right? Who basically did a form of kriya. Amar Rabbi Nechemiah v'alo lifnei achav asukein. Rabbi Nechemiah says that's not overly impressive. By achav, who was not the best of kings. Let's just leave it like that. So they did the same thing. So what they did is by his grave, so they laid a Sefer Torah alongside him with the statement of, he fulfilled everything that was in here. We're all aware, right, you've heard me say this before, right, of the last kings of Malchut Yehuda before Churban Bayis Rishon, So Chizkiel basically brought about a renaissance in terms of learning, right? Up until this point in time, there was hit and miss regarding kings of Malchut Yehuda. Most of the time it was misses, right? But meanwhile, Chizkiel brought about like a yeshivas and learning and really brought about Torah to its back to its high point of dedication and study. That was Chizkiel and what he was known for. So over here, when they're talking about the burial of Chizkiel, so now they're trying to figure out what exactly was so special about his burial. What cover did they show him? So the Gemara, at least right now, is offering that they laid a Sefer Torah right next to him with the statement of Kim Zema Shekasu Bazem. Right, this person fulfilled everything that was written in the Torah. Vayina nami avdin hachi. So the Gemara says, nowadays we do it as well. Meaning when an Adam Gadol nowadays dies, this is the Gemara now speaking, so we have the same practice. And so since we have the same practice nowadays, no longer is it special. Right? If you're doing it for everybody, so then obviously it no longer becomes special. So the Gemara says, afuki mafkina nanuchila manchinan. So the Gemara says one distinction that we can make is that we take out a Sefer Torah, but we don't lie down next to the kever. By Chizkiah they did. Alternative distinction, says the Gemara, is that no, maybe even nowadays we lie down next to the person, but we don't do is we don't make that declaration of kiyam b'zeh mashakasa b'zeh. That's the distinction. So I was walking together with Rav Yochanan and I wanted to talk to him and learning. So he was walking to the bathroom, and I was asking him a question. So, in other words, obviously, first he did his business in the bathroom, then he came out of the bathroom, and Adamashi Yadei, then he washed his hands, Umanach Tfilin, Umevarech, and then he put on Tfilin and he made a bracha. Vahada Amarlan. So Rav Yochanan now, after basically taking his break to go to the bathroom, obviously the Gemara over here wants to introduce us to a couple of halachic points regarding what's the proper procedure about responding to questions, how to exit the bathroom, washing your hands, putting your tefillin back on, etc. But anyway, relevant to our discussion, Rav Yochanan says, I'll tell you what was so special about Chizkiyahu. So in other words, it's not the fact that we lie the arrow next to him, that we do that by any Adam Gadol. And even the phrase Kiyem, so that we do even nowadays as they did back then. But Limeid lo amrinan. But Rav Yochanan said what was so special is that more than Kiyem, Chizkiyahu also taught others Torah as well. That's being Malamed. So the Gemara says, good. So that was the unique and special feature that we had by Chizkiyahu, is that not only was he Mikayim, but also taught others as well. Now, v'amar amar gadol limud Torah shalima mevi lidei maisa. So the Gemara says, well, what about limud? Meaning limud is so great. Gadol limud Torah shalima mevi lidei maisa. Now, if you look at Rashi right over here, so Rashi says, what's the Gemara's question? The way Rashi presents it, what do you see over here from this statement in the Braisa of gadol limud Torah shalima mevi lidei maisa? That what is superior? Maisa is superior. Meaning we said that, you know what the big deal by Chizkiyahu was? He taught others. Over here, the Braisa seems to indicate that Maisa is even better than all of the above. Why? Because Limud is good, but the only reason why Limud is good is because it leads to action. So the doing of a mitzvah, the performance of a mitzvah, is really paramount. That's the way Rashi presents the Gemara. And Lokashi HaLamigmar HaLagmurei, and the Gemara's distinction is that if you're just learning and learning leads to Maisa, that's good. Obviously, that's good. But in other words, but if you're teaching others, now that goes even higher on the pedestal, right? Teaching others is the highest level, if you will. That was something that they praised Chizkiyahu, which normally we don't say by other people. In other words, by your standard Adam Gadol. So what you do is that you lay the Sefer Torah alongside him, and in fact you could say Kiyam Bazeh, Mashakasa Bazeh. Yeah, he did everything here. But now when you're talking about teaching and educating others, the Gemara says that's on the highest level. The way I presented the Gemara over here is according to Rashi. See Tosos here inside, and we're not going to go through it together right now, unfortunately. But see Tosos over here inside, who understands the back and forth of the Gemara over here differently than Rashi. Really does not like the way Rashi presented the Gemara. See Tosos, and for a bonus, when you go through the entire Tosfos, what you're going to see at the end is a totally different version of how this exchange went and how the hierarchy works. And because he quotes the Shiltos at the very end, the Shiltos cites this entire Gemara, the Shiltos of Rav Acha Gaon. He cites the entire Gemara over here. My Chavrusa this morning showed me the Shiltos inside. He looked it up. He was excited. So and over here, he gives an entirely different presentation of how the Gemara reads and what exactly how the hierarchy looks. But anyway, but meanwhile, just to wrap it up like Rashi, in terms of what we just learned together, in terms of hierarchy. So hierarchy is learning, obviously, is good. It's a necessity. It's good, it's a necessity, because without learning, you don't know what to do. So limud is good, but limud is good only because it leads to maisa. So in other words, so basically, according to Rashi, limud on the bottom, maisa above that. And then what's above maisa? Being a malamed. In other words, teaching others Torah. That now deserves its own level, a level above. And Rashi writes, by the way, as long as I'm presenting Rashi, let's just finish quoting Rashi. Rashi writes, why is being migmar? Why is teaching others so valuable? So I'm reading the Rashi inside. So lemigmar laatzma ma'isa adif aval laagmor laachrine adif ma'isa. Teaching others is more valuable than ma'isa. Hilkach limeid lo amrinan. I thought Rashi was going to say. Rashi doesn't say over here. Anyway, but teaching others is going to be more valuable, presumably because now you're going to be enabling others to do mitzvahs as well. In other words, obviously, their significance of learning, meaning you're the one teaching them, but their significance of learning is because it's going to lead to their ma'isa. So in other words, teaching is greater, right, the way Rashi presents it. Teaching is greater because it'll increase the number of those who are doing ma'isa. If it's your learning, your ma'isa, fine. But now you're teaching others, now you are broadcasting, so that's more ma'isa, if you will. Okay, anyway, we're almost done with the first parak. Let's go back, let's finish up. Tana Rabbanan, now we are back in Divrei HaYamim. No, we just did that. I'm Rav Yochanan Mishum, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, thank you. My dechsev, the pasuk over here, Yishayahu, parak lamed beis. Ashrechem zori al kol mayim, mishachireg ashur v'chamor. Okay. I'm not allowed to say this in the Gemara, but I'll say it's cute that we quoted this pasuk over here. We quoted the pasuk earlier in this particular perek because of the references of Mishalchei Regel, Shor v'Chamor, right? The word Shiluach and Regel are connected one with the other. Remember, we used this pasuk earlier in order to establish one of the avos of Nezek is in fact Regel. But anyway, Kol Ha'osek B'Torah V'Gemilas Chasadim. Obviously, over here we're quoting the pasuk. But we're darshaning it differently over here. Kol ha'osek b'torah v'gemilas chasadim zokeh l'nachla shnei shvatim. So if, in fact, a person is learning Torah and involved in chesed, so he's going to be receiving the nachla of two shvatim. So and specifically the shvatim of Yosef and Yisachar, right? Each one of them is compared to a shor and a chamor. Yosef obviously compared to the shore, and Yisachar compared to a chamor. Right? See the brachos of Yaakov Avinu at the end of Sefer Bereishis. Shenemar Ashrechem Zari Veinzri El Tzaka. Shenemar Ziru Lachem Tzaka VeKitzur Lefi Chased. Now, where exactly did you see the word Tzaka in the pasuk? So the word Zriya to plant. So that's Tzaka. And Lefi Chased and Ein Mayim El Torah. Shenemar Hoy Kol Tzamei Lechula Mayim. And where did you see Torah in the pasuk? Mayim. Mayim is compared to Torah. So v'zochel nachla shnei shvatim zochel kila. So what you're going to get is kila. Okay, great. And I hope you're wondering what exactly is kila. So kila over here is chayin. Okay. In other words, you're going to find favor. Who finds favor amongst everyone he meets? That's Yosef. Dechsev ben paras Yosef benos tzada ale shor. Jewish women. I know it's a funny thing to say, but that's a simple pshat in the pasuk. So Jewish women would basically be peeking over the wall to see Yosef. He was that handsome. And Zochel Nachlas Yisachar Dichsiv Yisachar Chamor Garem. And also you're going to get the schar of Yisachar because Yisachar is compared to a chamor. Okay, that is a lot of encryption in one pasuk. That pasuk in Yeshayahu. Ashreichem Zorei Akol Mayim Mashachi Regal Asher V'Chamor. So over there you have the Zorei which is Tzaka. You have the Mayim which is Torah. And then what do you receive? You receive Shur and Chamor. Yosef and Yisachar. Now, Another way to understand it is that what's the schar that you're going to receive? All your enemies are going to fall in front of you. So, ki Yosef, just like Yosef, dechziv, bahem amim yinagach rechtav afzei aretz. So now we're turning to the brachas of Yosef, but not the Yaakov brachas of Yosef. The Moshe brachas of Yosef were at the end of Sefer Torah. And there, so what Yosef is going to do is he's going to gore the enemies. And then as far as what else you're going to be Zochah, if you're involved in the study of Torah and in Stuck and Chesed, so you're going to be sharp like Yisachar. Okay, another way to say it over. Hajan al-Kharba Avos, and with that we conclude now the first parak of the Masechta. Mazel Tov, everyone. But short-lived Mazel Tov as we now move on to the second parak of the Masechta. Okay. So what exists basically in the world of Nezek, when your animal does damage, again, we're still in property damage. And we're going to be in property damage for a while. And again, I say property damage, I mean your property doing damages to others. So within the world of property damage, so what do we have? So we learned earlier that that they are basically can be broken down to two categories. There's Tam and there's Muad, right? As we just went over in the last mission of the first parak. So Tam only is relevant to Keren. In other words, when your animal does damages and it does damages by goring other animals, and again, that's the Av, right? We also went over the Toladas as well. So when your animal does damage under the category of Keren, so that's a Tam, and you're only paying Chatzi Nezek. But if the animal's damage is done via its walking, trampling, or if it's done via eating, so that is regal and shein respectively. And so therefore you're going to be chayv nezek shalem. And so over here now in this parak, so we are continuing, and we are going over now the other categories of muad. Ketzad regal muedes. So this goes back to the Mishnah, not the Mishnah we just covered, but this goes back to two Mishnahs ago in the first parak. It's a hemshech. So I know we're in the second parak, but really this is a continuation of what we saw in the first parak. So, how is regal going to be muad? Very simple. Animal walks. So, animal walks, and while walking, it damages, it tramples on other people's property. So now you, the owner of the animal, are going to be responsible, and the responsibility is going to be nezek shalem. You have to pay full damages. So, while it's walking, so it tramples on something, so it has to break. I'm sorry, and it breaks, you're going to have to pay. And again, as a child, you're going to be paying full damages. Haisa miva et So let's say what it does is it kicks. Or, alternatively, stones are going to be propelled from under its feet. So under those circumstances, v'shivra zekelim. So either way, either via kicking or via stones being propelled by the force of the animal. So, Masham Chatzin Nezek, in those examples, so you are going to be obligated, but you're only going to be paying Chatzin Nezek. Okay. So, let's try to make this distinction as clear as possible. There are two cases right now that the Mishnah outlined for us that you're going to be paying Chatzin Nezek. Now, although there are two cases, but they are not one in the same. Okay. And Rashi over here spells this out. Haisa Miva'eta Shinui Huzeva Tolda de Keren. So, just because the damage is done with the leg of the animal does not mean that it's regal. Okay? Again, we made this point earlier. We are reiterating this point and hopefully reinforcing this point. In other words, when we say regal, it means activity that's normal and usual. The animal's walking, and it just steps on somebody's item. So that's regal. But if it kicks, animal doesn't normally kick. It's unusual activity. And so once it's unusual activity, it leaves the world of regal, and it enters into the world of Keren. Therefore, you pay Chatzin Nezek. Rashi says that right over here. Shinui zeva tolda de keren hilka chatzi nezek v'sulo. Okay, that's one. And then the propulsion, and now we're looking at the next case of the Mishnah that we just got done reading, and that is that the animal steps on a stone, the force is so great, right, that pressure, that weight, and now what's going to happen is that the stone is going to propel. So in halacha, we describe this as koach. This is now the force of the animal. We also describe this as tsuraros, meaning you've heard the term before. You're going to hear it again in today's daf. So over here, tsuraros, so what do you do by tsuraros? Tsuraros, you're going to be paying, but only chatzi nezek. Now, recently, as recently as yesterday's daf, I think, but a couple times in the first paragraph, what do we note? That tsuraros halacha lamoshe misinai. Very beginning of the Masechta, we made this point. Meaning, in terms of categories, it's a subcategory of regal. subcategory, regularly you should pay nezek shalem, right? Not right. Meaning it's a subcategory of regal, that part's right, but you're not going to be paying full damage, you should pay chatzi nezek. Why? Halach l'moshe misinai. In other words, we have a tradition. Rashi, next Rashi. Afag abdolav shinuihu alo orchehu. Now the animal is stepping on stones, that's normal. So, afilahachi chatzi nezek v'sulo dehuchasa gemir lehu. Okay. So this is halach l'moshe misinai, says Rashi. We've said it before. Good, we get to reiterate again. Another point that Rashi makes over here, as long as we're in the Rashi, let's stay in Rashi, because now Rashi says it's important that you understand that Tzoros falls under the category of Regal. Why? Because we know Shane and Regal are Pater Bereshos Arabim. The Torah, in describing Shane, says Ubi'er b'stei acher. The animal goes and grazes in somebody else's property. So in other words, it has to be private property, then, and obviously not your property, but, right, if it eats your property, that's your problem. But in other words, it goes into somebody else's property, then and only then are you going to be liable for the damages of both Shane and Rego. But if it's in a Rishos Arabim, so you're going to be Pater, because there's a Patur of Nezek for Shane Verego and a Rishos Arabim. A point that we've already made a number of times, but we're reiterating again, that's Rashi. And Rashi reminds us also that because Tzoros now falls under the category of Regal, so if the Tzoros were to occur in a Rishos Arabim, so now you're Pater, because Tzoros is a subcategory of Regal. Regal is Pater Rishos Arabim, so if Regal is Pater Rishos Arabim, so it's Tzoros going to be as well. Okay. Good. All this, by the way, is a lot. Just in other words, the more times we go through it, the more times I go through it, so you just see it clearer, and right, you just get to see the categories really clearly, and everything really does work out. It makes, in other words, everything is nice and organized. We're continuing now in the Mishnah, Darsa. We are on Yud Zayin Amud Aleph. We're towards the bottom of the Amud. We're almost finished with the first Mishnah of the second Perek. Darsa Akli Ushvarasal. So let's say your animal now steps on a kli, breaks it. V'nafa Akli Ushvaro. So, and a piece of the a shard falls off. And falls on another kli and breaks it. So al arisha mishalem nezek shalem, al achra mishalem chatzi nezek. So in other words, the kli that the animal actually put its weight on and broke it, so that falls under the category of regal. That's nezek shalem. But when the shard goes in and now launches into another kli, so that falls under the category of tzoros.
But this is not this is
you have to say, very good, right? Excellent addition. And what you have to say is that this was not an arisha rabban. This was in somebody's property. Okay, good. So the Mishnah is just highlighting and giving us another example so that we're able to see all this play out. Meaning there's regal and then there's tzoros, which is also regal, but halacha moshe misinai, you only pay chatzi nezek. Tarnagolim mu'adim lahalach kedarkam l'shaber. So as far as let's call them chickens. Okay, so chickens break, and that's normal. That's normal activity by chickens. And so therefore, if you're the owner of the chicken and the chicken goes and walks and breaks on and breaks something by stepping on it, so now, again, assuming that it's in the other person's property, so you now have to pay, and you have to pay nezek shalem. Haya dalel kasher baraglav oshaya mehades umeshaber tzakelim mishalem chatzi nezek. So let's say that there was something attached to the leg of the bird, the leg of the chicken, right? A dalil, it doesn't matter, right? A little stone, a little pebble, something was tied to the leg of the chicken, and it breaks with that item that was tied to it. So again, that's not directly under the leg of the chicken, but it's coming about via the force of the chicken. So now the force of the chicken, what's that? That's tzoros. And then you're going to be paying chatzi nezek. Oshaya mahades. So, or it was dancing. You're dancing chicken. It's great. And the dancing chicken now is doing what? So basically via its dancing, so it's now sending stones in all directions. And one of those stones breaks somebody else's property. So now, once again, that's tzoros, and therefore you're going to be paying chatzi nezek. Okay. Again, just more and more examples. The more examples, the easier we're going to get to see it all in terms of regal, tzoros, nezek, chatzi nezek. Okay, v'chule v'chule. So amar le ravin le rav hainu regal hainu behema. Okay. Look at the language of the Mishnah, and the language of the Mishnah does get a little bit confusing. Meaning, the first line of the Mishnah is a regal moedas l'shaver b'derech hilucha. Good. So the regal. Regal is an av. Is an av nezek. I was about to say av malacha. Okay. That, but that's good, though. In other words, the first mission, the first af in the Masechta, You know, how many times do we have in the Torah? Avos and Tolados, the number of times. So, good. So, over here, so, regomodos l'shaber b'der chilucha, that's the Av. And then afterwards, what does the Mishnah say? So, ha-behema mu'eres l'alachidarka l'shaber. The next line of the Mishnah, of our Mishnah, is behema is mu'eres l'alachidarka l'shaber. So, basically, what we seem to be having over here is the Mishnah repeating itself, and then, right, and the second line seems to be redundancy of the first line. So Amar Le, so Rava says to Ravina, right, this is right, Ravina says to Rava. So Rava says back to Ravina, so Tane Avos Veketane Tolados. Ah. So in other words, the correct way to understand our Mishnah is our Mishnah is providing us Nezek using the model of Av and Tolada. In other words, in the Mishnah, when the Mishnah first says Haregamu Az L'Shaber B'der Chilucha, so in other words, what the Mishnah is first introducing us is that an animal is doing damage while it's walking, and that's the Av. As the Mishnah continues, Habehima Mu'eres La'ala Kedarka L'Shaber, what the Mishnah now is describing is not where the animal tramples on something, but as the animal is walking, so in other words, it's basically a walking hazard. Right, it sideswipes somebody else's property again, not in the street. Right, if it were in the street, it would be shusar ami be pater. But in other words, it sideswipes or it does other damages while it's walking, but not just direct trampling. That's a tolada. So, in other words, what Rav explains to Ravina is that the proper understanding of the Mishnah is that the first line, that's the Av, and then the next line of the Mishnah. I know the Mishnah is not that detailed, but you have to read it into the Mishnah. The next line of the Mishnah now is basically teaching us that there are the subcategories as well, even though the Mishnah doesn't actually articulate the subcategories. Elamiyatza Sefer Diktani. So the Gemara says, really? So you mean to tell me now that the way structurally to look at our Mishnah, Av Tolada. Take a look at the next Mishnah. Sorry, not next. Look at the previous Mishnah, meaning, no, I was right. Look at the next Mishnah, right? The one on your test, coming up. Diktani Hashem Muedes, Abehema Muedes. So my Av is my Tolada Zika, meaning in the upcoming Mishnah we're going to have the word Shane, and over there it doesn't sound like it's presenting to us in the same format Av Tolada. So Havakam Adolei Bibidichusa. So over here, so Rava says to Ravina, great counter. Allow me, please, a joke. Okay, and the Gemara over here telegraphs. In other words, Baruch Hashem, they had a sense of humor, a great sense of humor, and so over here the Gemara says this is a joke. So Amar Le Anashanai Chada V'Ashni Chada. Look, you asked me about the first Mishnah of the second Perek. I handled it. You're now bothering me about the second Mishnah. You handle that Mishnah. Okay, in other words, what do you want me to do? You want me to explain to you every Mishnah? I don't have to explain to you every Mishnah. I'll explain to you one. You explain to me the other. Okay, but the Gemara telegraphs, and the Gemara says that was a joke. V'tam Amai. Okay, good. Joke over. Now let's go back. So let's understand. Meaning, if the first Mishnah is providing to us Av Tolada, so how do you understand the second Mishnah? So Amar Avashi Tana Shein Dechaya V'Tana Shein DeBehema. Ah, Shein of Chaya, Shein of Behema. Meaning that if you have an animal, regardless of whether you own a Behema or whether you own a Chaya, and it eats somebody else's property, so you have to pay for it. First Chaya, then Behema. The Gemara says, "What is Zaka Das Chamina Shilachas Beiro?" So now the word bi'iro, that is understood as behema, domesticated animals. Everyone here knows. Animals are basically divided into two categories, behema and chaya. Behema are the domicile animals, cow, sheep, goat, right? And chaya are the wilder animals, gazelles. Okay, good. So if you own either one of those animals, it doesn't matter, and it damages, you have to pay. Which is the oven, which is the tolada? The B-E-R-O is a reference to behema. That's your grazing animals. So that's behema. So the Av is going on the behema. So the Gemara says, Yahachi hami ba'ile lemisne b'resha. The Gemara says, okay, great. So now you taught me, Ravina says to Rava, that the proper sequence is first the Av, then the Tolada. That's at least the first mission that we just did moments earlier. And now the next mission, Daf Yates, so it's the other way around. It's Tolada, then Av. So, hi, Da'asile Midrasha Chavile. So the Gemara says, yeah, but, oh wait, I skipped, didn't I? Yes, I did. I'm sorry, I skipped a little bit. Okay. Saka Dat Chamina, sorry, I'm going back a couple lines. Vishilech is Biroxiv, Behema in Chayalo. So, Kamashman, the Chayabachla Behema. Okay, good. So the chiddush is that chaya is included in behema, meaning not only if your behema does damage, you have to pay, but chaya as well. In other words, chaya is nichlal, it's included. Now, good. So yahachi hami bailu lemisna bereisha. Good. Now what we can do is now we can ask. So then behema is prime, meaning that's the av, and the chaya is the tolada. So put the behema first. So the Gemara says, yeah, but the Mishnah doesn't want to do that. Because anything we learn through a drasha, the Chachamim love that more. Meaning the methodology of darshaning psukim, right? That's chaviv, beloved to Chazal. So yachi reisha nami l'snayi delo k'siva bereisha. So the Gemara says, okay, so go back to our Mishnah. So you're telling me that the tolada which is learned via drasha, that's beloved. So that should go first. So the Gemara says, no, hachi hashta. Hasami devi diavos nenu. So the Gemara says not comparable. Because in the next Mishnah, Daf Yates, so Chaya and Behema. In other words, as long as they eat food, that's Av. I said earlier that a Chaya is a Talada. The Gemara says no, that's not accurate. It's not true. In other words, Chaya just simply is included in Behema. But when your Chaya eats somebody's property, that's an Av. So over there, so basically everything equal. So what are we going to put first? We'll slot Chaya first. Why? Because Chaya we deduced. In other words, the fact that it's included in Behema, that's a deduction. We like that better. But they're both Avos in terms of Nezek. In our Mishnah over here, when we're talking about Regel, so Av of Regel is where it tramples, the animal tramples on something. And the Tolada is when it sideswipes. And other forms of, you know, moving violations, if you will. First time I use that. Okay, so anyway, so Ibai Zema, I did the Salak Miregel, Pasach Miregel. The Gemara says, okay, alternatively also, you can explain that our Mishnah wouldn't have mind putting the Tolada before the Av, but our Mishnah is a continuation of the Mishnah in the first Perek, and that's why our Mishnah chose first Regel trampling, because that really connects to the previous Perek, which when we read our Mishnah, I introduced its connection to the previous Perek. Good. Tana Rabbanan. A little bit more? Yeah, a little bit. Okay, Tana Rabbanan. We're on your Zainam Adbeiz, just about a quarter of the way down. Behema Moedas V'Halach Hidarka L'Shabar Ketza Behema Sh'nechlan Zol Chatzar Anizat V'Hizika B'Gufa Derech Hilucha U'V'Sara Derech Hilucha B'Ukif Sh'Aliyah V'Shlif Sh'Aliyah U'V'Prumbia Sh'Bethia U'V'Zug Sh'Bethzara V'Chamor B'Maso Mishal Mezek Shalim. Your animal walks, and while walking, it sideswipes, and it doesn't matter whether the hair of the animal hits something, brushes up against something, the saddle brushes up against something, the bit in its mouth brushes up against something. Anytime that the animal has a moving violation, where when I say violation, by the way, meaning I'm talking about physical violation, it runs up against something and breaks something, so you have to pay. Simchas Amar Tzraros. Now, the Braisa, just kind of like out of left field, says that according to Simchus, so if it's Sraros, again, stones that are propelled by the force of the animal, it breaks, or let's say the Chazir, right, swinging its nose into the garbage, and then propels garbage into somebody else's property, damages, so then Mishal Nezek Shalom, you pay full Nezek. Hopefully at this point you're wondering, wait one second, Sraros, I thought you pay half damages. So in a moment, what we're going to be introduced to, right? Well, not in a moment, right now, is that according to Simchus, Sraros pays Nezek Shalom. He disagrees. Okay. So the... I love it. Okay. You are trained. You are so trained. It's so good. Okay. So it's called two people here in the Shira ask, how can you argue about Halacha Moshe B'Sinai? What they know, just informing everybody what they know, right? And that is that the Rambam writes that nobody's arguing about Halacha L'Moshe M'Sinai. In fact, the Rambam writes that one of the ways we know it's Halacha L'Moshe M'Sinai is because it's not open to any kind of argument whatsoever. So as noted by many, I'm not breaking any new ground over here, there are a number of times in the Gemara where the Gemara has a machlokes of Halacha L'Moshe M'Sinai. So the Rambam, however, states a rule which sounds great, and we're all trained in it. In other words, we all know the Rambam, but meanwhile, there are Gemaras that violate that rule. Our Gemara is being a wonderful example of what seems to be a direct violation of that rule. Okay. In other words, let's just say it's a good question. I don't have a good answer. Okay. So, Hizik Pshit, Ima Sefa Mishalim, Vihitiz Vihizik, Mishalim Nezik Shalim. Meaning, what the Gemara is bothered by is that the Brice is telling us no new information. The Gemara says, no, there is new information, and that's Soros, you pay Nezek Shalom. Soros Mantekar Shmayu. The Gemara says, yeah, but Simchas and Soros comes out of nowhere, comes out of left field. Okay. Pun intended, by the way. Chesurim Echzer Bahachi Kitani. Soros Kiyor Chayu Chatzi Nezek. Ah, Vechazir Shayan Over Bahashba. Vihitas Vizik Mishalam Chatzi Nezek. Sumchus omer tzoros v'chazir shayin over b'ashpa v'hizik mishalem nezik shalem. So the Gemara says, well, what you have to do is you have to add a little bit into the Mishnah. Once you add into the Mishnah, it's really a brisa. But point being the same. So in other words, it's not that tzoros came out of left field. We're missing a part of the brisa. Let's add it. Meaning the first of brisa talks about where the animal of brushes up against somebody's property. Or somebody, doesn't matter what the damage, who the recipient of the damage is. So the animal does damage while it's walking. So that's Nezek Shalem. Ah, but if it's Sararos, so it's Chatzi Nezek. That's the missing part of the Braisa. And now, in that missing part of the Braisa, Simchas argues, and Simchas of the position. Sararos? No, that's not Chatzi Nezek. Nezek Shalem. You pay full damages. Okay. We'll pause over here. And tomorrow we'll pick it up. More on regal, more on throros.
There's no distinction between throros and anything else.
Correct.
So why is there throros in the first place then?
Well, in a moment, the Gemara is going to describe throros as being a koach, and we get to see the idea of koach. But you're right. According to Simchus, there's not going to be a difference. That's very well stated.